Do you live in the middle of nowhere and feel separated from the church?
Yeah, that's me.
Or do you think the church is out of touch?
Absolutely.
Then this podcast is for you. Coming to you from the Diocese of Sioux City.
What? Where the hell is Sioux City?
Welcome to Outcast Catholic with your hosts, Father Shane Demon and Father Travis Crotty.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this edition of Outcast Catholic. I'm Father Shane Demon.
I'm Father Travis Crotty.
And we are coming to you actually from, collectively today, the Diocese of Sioux City, as we're recording back here in Sioux City together, reunited during Holy Week 2024.
It feels so good.
It does indeed. It's good to be with you, Father.
Likewise.
Sporting the poofy vest today.
It's kind of my thing.
I know, you like your vest.
Yeah, this one was the men's clothing store in Lamar's closed in October.
Uh-huh.
And I got a big haul.
Good.
As Harry Potter would say, the lot.
Uh-huh.
The lot. And this was one of the finds.
Okay. So congrats on your purchase.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's been nice at this, you know, confusing time of the spring where it's very cold again.
Very cold. Yeah. Winter kind of hit again.
It did. It was 70 degrees here.
I know.
And then it hit very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were kind of welcome back with some wintry blasts of the wind.
Yeah, it's been really warm in St. Louis, as it has been here. And I drove home kind of for the evening of Palm Sunday, and it was just raining basically from St. Joe, Missouri, straight north. And then that all kind of turned to snow by the next morning.
Snow. Yeah, that's exciting. Snow and ice.
Yes. Well, you know, the Lenten penances continue, and here we are.
It was nice to have you back for the Chrism Mass.
Yeah, that went really well. I don't know whose idea it was to load the cathedral full of students from across the diocese, but that was beautiful to see.
I think Father Gallus had the idea of moving it up into the morning, which allowed us to fill it with students, mm-hmm. and then also to have a nice meal for the presbyterate afterwards.
It's great. That went well. It's good showing of the clergy, and it's good to be home and pray with the boys.
With the boys.
Yeah.
Yes. One group of boys to another group of boys.
That's right. That's right. Literally. Just want to take a moment for some shout-outs. We want to express our condolences to Anita in Marcus, Iowa, for the recent loss of her father. She had reached out to us via email, and just want to assure her of our continued prayers, especially during these sacred days. Also, Richard in London, he's a faithful listener, and we want to continue to support him in his Christian journey, as he's always seeking greater truth, and we're all wrestling with these questions together, as how we deal with the realities of feeling outcast from one another, from parish life, from the church, or even at times as we might feel the church is outcast from us, or we're growing more outcast from God. You know, as these listeners write into us or sometimes contact us in various means, it really helps us understand how kind of global the outreach is of this podcast. And it might be interesting to kind of just take a moment to see, you know, where we're at. This is going to come as a major shock to you, but the city that we get the largest amount of downloads is Sioux City, Iowa.
Let's go, Sioux City.
All right. Since we're recording here, you know,
yes.
Omaha, Nebraska, Lamar's, Iowa, St. Louis, Missouri, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota are top five cities for the past year right now.
When you brought up these stats like months ago, I was kind of questioning how true they were.
Uh-huh.
This is helpful.
Yeah.
Like, this actually sounds correct.
Yeah, exactly. The United Kingdom is our second most popular country.
What's the first?
The United States, obviously. And it's not like we're getting like millions of downloads in the UK.
Like
401 for the past year. Canada, Australia, and Mexico are also tuning in about the same time. Interesting, for the past year, our number one downloaded episode that was recorded and uploaded in 2023 into this current year was The Corkscrew of Time. Do you remember that one? We were talking about the unraveling of time. In how
that was clearly one of your episodes.
Well, I actually don't remember who hosted it, but I Am Not Enough was another episode, and Serving the Brides with Father John Burns.
Oh yes,
The Shattering of Loneliness, as we looked at
Bishop Vardin's book,
and Is Life Really a Gift?
All
of which comes down to 42,000 downloads in the past year, and in 55 countries, with over 1,200 minutes of recorded time.
Fun. So, friends, as I hear these stats, you hear them, or as you hear them, I hear them for the first time. I don't keep up on any of these, so that's good to hear that people are tuning in.
Yeah, so I mean, we never did this to get popular. We just want to support
We didn't.
Especially especially our own.
That's what I'm in this
that's,
for.
That's function. Your whole mission, huh? Yeah,
absolutely. My grandma said, I understood why you became a priest. You always want to be the center of attention.
Ooh.
I said, Grandma, I didn't. From the faithful Lutheran. That wasn't why. I swear.
Salty grandma. Yes.
She doesn't listen, so it's fine.
Well, yeah, we wanted to do this for folks in our own diocese, and we always said from the beginning, if this reaches others in a helpful and holistic way, great. So, Father, happy Holy Week.
Yes.
Here we are.
We are on Spy Wednesday right now.
We're on Spy Wednesday as Judas spies opportunities
to for himself betray our Lord.
To betray our Lord. That's right. Mm-hmm. Spying on him and perhaps against him. So it's good to kind of be here and talk in person, because what I want to discuss today, it's just a lot easier than trying to do this online. I always love recording in person.
I also don't have to deal with my weird internet connection in this building.
I know.
Which is very helpful.
People don't realize that, but it takes us like always a considerable effort to like just link up everything before we record remotely.
We do the same thing every time.
I know. And there's somehow, always a little glitch.
Yeah. It's like the computer just decided to not choose the soundboard as the default microphone this week. Just.
Oh, well.
Here we are, though.
Oh, well. First world problems. As we're kind of just thinking about Holy Week and our journey throughout Lent, I've been doing some reflecting on the people that I get to journey with, spiritual directees, seminarians, former parishioners who reach out, even some of the colleagues that I work with at the seminary. And what I've consistently found, you know, in recent years of priestly ministry, one of the greatest challenges that people face is the negative self-talk and the self-loathing that they put themselves through. And myself included, you know, I'm not immune to this. And so I want to just unpack that and talk about how that actually impacts our relationship with God. You might remember from, you know, your own seminary days, Dr. Harvath or other formators talking about a lot of negative self-talk. And it's certainly very present among seminarians. Those who say, you know, I'm not worthy for this, which is true, but you don't have to like beat yourself up about this. Those who say, you know, I don't think really God loves me. I'm not worthy of God's love. Those who struggle with addictions, those who struggle with impurities, and they just believe lies that, you know, I'm perverted or I'm dirty.
Or that I'll never change.
Oh, that I'll never change. I'll be stuck with this. My habits will never improve. Mm-hmm. Even those who, you know, might appear to be living very, very vibrant Christian lives and who can kind of fall into, at times, maybe some codependency or beliefs that, well, I have to serve, but no one really ought to serve me. I'm really not worthy to receive love. I'm not worthy to receive support. Or my Christian mission is always, I give more than I receive. And yes, we're called by Jesus to lay down our lives, but there are those who kind of try and live their whole lives always wanting to never receive love from others, never receive support. And that can be a lie. There could be a vow in there that's rooted in I'm not worthy or I ought not receive support from somebody. And all of a sudden, you kind of get yourself wrapped up into a whole web of negative thinking and self-loathing in which not only does that not allow you to kind of go forward in real Christian truth, but it actually starts to impact how you look at God. And that's kind of what I want to zero in on here. Mm-hmm. When we tell ourselves, I'm perverted, I'm dirty, I'm worthless, I'm not worth anyone's time, I ought not receive support from others, I'm only supposed to give, I'm not, you know, worth anyone's, you know, second glance or a time and attention, that can actually start to warp the image that we have of our Lord. And if you were to stop and think about how is it that the Heavenly Father looks upon you in love, this is an excellent, you know, exercise in prayer. Father Hazing, you know, probably did this often with you when you were in seminary, and he's still doing it at Kenrick, to just pause for a moment and say, what image do I have of God the Father looking upon me? Does he take delight in me, or do I see a face that is stern, a face that is arrogant, a face that is distant, a face that is disappointed? A face that is ready to strike with despair and doom and destruction, right? Mm-hmm. Or do I look upon my mental image of how God looks upon me as one who's taking delight in a beloved son and daughter, one who's actually seeing goodness reflected from him, the Creator, in us, his creatures. Do I look upon the Heavenly Father as he sees his grace alive in me? Do I look upon the Heavenly Father as he looks upon me and he really sees all the gifts and talents that he knows are going to consistently come to greater fruition and give him praise and glory and also bear fruit for the life of the church? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I notice can really impact people, myself included, that when we get into false thinking and lies and vows about ourselves that are untrue and misleading, all of a sudden that radically changes how we look upon God as we think he looks upon us.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. And if we're made in the image and likeness of God, it's interesting how in really positive moments we can receive our identity from him anew all the time. But then we can do the opposite and like throw back on him. Because we're made in his image and likeness, we can throw back on him our own image and likeness back on him. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I remember talking a lot in philosophy back in the day of anthropomorphizing God, which it's hard because he did become man.
Right.
He did reveal himself, and we have the scriptures. But then we often, transfer ourself back onto God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see that a lot. I really enjoy hearing confessions. And during this Lenten season around the diocese, there's been lots of opportunities to hear confessions of young people. But it's interesting when people can really honestly, and I've noticed this with kind of, I think, Gen Z, which has been really helpful. Honest confessions is kind of like a trademark of this generation that I haven't seen in maybe in my peers or in other generations. But sometimes there's this brutal honesty, but it kind of misses the mark of kind of conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes if this piece comes in both the self-loathing piece, but also maybe the self-loathing that we throw back on God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can become aware that I'm sinful, that I'm doing bad things, and I know it's a good thing for me to come to confession. That's like where I'm supposed to come back to. But there seems to be like a hesitancy to change. Well, I can't change, so I'm just going to keep coming week after week or month after month with the exact same things without any kind of impetus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think that's very insightful. Yeah, you're right. Gen Z certainly has no filter. They put everything out on social media. And so then coming to confession, it's like, well, I've told the rest of the world this already, so right. I guess I'll tell you, Father, too. But you're right. If there's not a spark of conversion, could there be subtly in that a lack of hope that conversion is actually going to be possible? And how does that impact their image of God? Do they think that God actually is going to assist them and accompany them and give them his grace to live a higher standard and to actually walk in greater virtue? I wonder if they think that's even possible.
Right. What I end up saying so much, and I've been really leaning into this, the language that St. Paul uses about slavery versus freedom in Christ.
Mm.
And we can hear it said, oh, I'm no longer a slave to sin, I'm a child of God. There's a popular praise and worship song that says that, but what does that actually look like? What does that actually mean? I think so often we really do believe. It's like, I am a slave to my sins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be chained down by these. I can confess them and feel a little bit better for a little bit, but I know that in 2 weeks' time, in 3 weeks' time, in a month's time, I will fall to these again. I'll be back with the exact same things. And there's just, the hope isn't very prevalent anyways. It doesn't seem very present. However, yeah, maybe that's what I was going to say. There's something else I thought I wanted to say, but...
Yeah, we've done some episodes. I remember a couple of years ago in late December, we recorded an episode about hope in the midst of winter darkness and how the darkness of the world can kind of seem to encroach on us constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet real Christian hope in the midst of the Christmas season provides a burning witness to all the world that no, God actually has visited his people and there is true hope to be found. But you used a phrase just earlier that I really liked, to throw back on God, the images that we have or the emotions that we're carrying and the self-loathing that we're carrying. I think that's very insightful. What are we throwing back on God? Because as we mar his sacred face, as we vandalize his face with what the stuff, the emotions, the baggage that we're throwing onto him, that actually diminishes he who is our source of hope, right? And what his power and his consistent call in our lives is really going to offer us. We end up damaging our own source of hopefulness, right? Because we change the image of who he really is.
Yeah, I think a helpful. I know it's a simplified explanation of kind of the spiritual life. But what I received in seminary, what I received a lot in spiritual direction, what I try to offer back is this question of what internal voice are we listening to? Mm-hmm. When you kind of share a certain thought, feeling, or desire in the context of prayer, or then when you're trying to break it down in spiritual direction, there's always this really provocative and penetrating question of whose voice are you listening to?
Right.
And it's interesting because sometimes when that question's asked, you kind of don't realize that you've been listening to either kind of your own voice or maybe the voice of the enemy or the combination of both. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that just seems like the sort of status quo. Like that's just the starting point. It's just these thoughts that are always there. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of hope that maybe a holy thought from God will come on top of those instead of realizing, oh, wait, I'm believing lots of things. I'm listening to lots of things. I'm kind of dialoguing with these different thoughts all the time that aren't actually from God. Mm-hmm. But then when it stopped, it's like, well, yeah, how does God seem in the midst of that? It's like a question in spiritual direction. And then it's interesting that people will respond because if it reveals like, you're thinking about God like this, is that how the scriptures talk about God? Is mm-hmm. that how the liturgy talks about mm-hmm. who God is? Is that how the saints talk about how God is? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then that's not true. Where's that coming from? Well, it's coming from this kind of broken spot.
Right.
That's believing something wrong. Yeah. And I think the hope is that God can always like speak his truth back into it mm-hmm. Through those things, the scriptures, the liturgy, the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lives of the saints.
Which is why it's really good to have a meditation time just focusing on the true face of our Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, we're recording this in Holy Week in which the scarred face of Jesus, you know, based on the sufferings that he undertook for us, actually reveals something of him with the depths of his compassionate love to want to redeem humanity. But, you know, Therese had St. Therese of Lisieux had a beautiful devotion to the holy face of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in previous episodes about weird art, especially in the Baroque period, that just, I find, make our Lord look like a porcelain doll and really unapproachable.
Like, yeah, you know, a little effeminate, right.
Yeah, but to have an actual... an actual mental image of our Lord's face, the Father's face, the presence of the Holy Spirit that is rooted in the truth of who he is, that we know dogmatically, and what he has revealed in Scripture, to actually meditate on that and to draw life from the vitality and the compassion, the burning love and zeal that he has for his sons and daughters, and how he is so eager to welcome us into a deeper spirit of conversion so that we can share his eternal life. When the real face of our Lord starts to become ever more penetrated and deeply into our imagination, and we find ourselves anchored in that, not only does that give us hope, but all of a sudden it changes how we look at ourselves,
yeah.
And it puts an end to this loop of the self-loathing and the negative self-talk, and this process by which we are transferring all of our negative images onto what God must actually be like because of what we assume he looks upon us as. Mm-hmm. So spending some time in that devotion to say, what is the true image of our Lord? How does his face actually reveal who he is in his power and his splendor, but his love and his compassion and tenderness? That just opens up huge avenues in the spiritual life by which we not need to feel outcast from him because of what we have thrown on him originally.
Right.
You know?
This episode will be coming out, presumably, well, whenever we decide, but mm-hmm. In the octave of Easter.
Right.
After we've kind of moved through the Triduum together here. Years ago, when I was in college seminary conception, struggling with different insecurities, comparisons to different guys in those early years of college seminary, and mm-hmm. especially having this feeling of, yeah, a lot of self-loathing, or I'm not good enough. The list goes on and on. I felt like some guys are more spiritually mature than me or whatever. I had this interesting experience. I think it might have been Holy Thursday evening when we would pray with the altar of repose in the Basilica there at Conception. This prayer just sort of came to me, and I thought it was interesting at the time, and I wrote it down. It's come back so many times, and I think it's really appropriate for this moment of allowing now the Easter season and the glory of the resurrected Lord to allow him to speak his truth into our sort of disbelief of our own identity or disbelief of who he is. This was simply the prayer, was, Lord, shine the light of your truth in the darkness of my unbelief. So this imagery of the tomb, right? Mm-hmm. Like, allow the light of your truth, who you are, to shine in this darkness of my unbelief, not so much in his existence, but maybe unbelief in his presence mm-hmm. in me, mm-hmm. unbelief in, you know, his ability to change me, unbelief in my ability to be changed, my ability to be loved, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. That has continued to be this place of coming back to this little prayer that just kind of popped up in the midst of that holy hour that evening on Holy Thursday. So maybe that could be a prayer that as you find yourself, this is just one thing I want to offer too is an encouragement. There can be this thought that it's like there's prayer times and then there's the rest of my day. And if I notice something in the rest of my day, the only time I'm able to like bring it to God is in some prayer time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't find that time for prayer, it almost seems like this compartmentalized experience of, well, I have this time where I'm thinking about myself and I'm even becoming more and more aware of these like unhelpful ways of thinking about myself or about God. But it seems like I have to wait for some perfect silent, you know, pristine moment in like a monastery mm-hmm. retreat house somewhere where I can finally process that. But some of these little prayers, like that surrender prayer we've talked about before, like the Jesus prayer itself, like the little prayers we know, but they can actually become moments where even in the moment, as the feelings arise, we can turn to something, have some prayer that kind of redirects us back to who God is. But that might be helpful in this Easter season. Mm-hmm. Lord, let the light of your truth shine in the darkness of my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. An unbelief that is rooted in sometimes the unbelief that we hold about ourselves.
Ooh, I think there's actually another piece that just... continuation of the analogy of the tomb, I think it was like, Lord, roll away the stone from my heart and allow the light of your truth to shine in the darkness of my unbelief.
Mm, yeah, it's lovely.
So that stone can kind of stand in the way, whatever stands in the way of God's mm-hmm. presence, his truth.
Good thoughts. And it's nice that you could tie that back into Easter. And hopefully these are just kind of some initial thoughts by which we and our listeners can consistently reflect on what is it that we're telling ourselves and how does that really vandalize the holy face of God, he who looks upon us with love and mercy and tenderness. So, Father, it's good to be back with you in person. Thanks for your time today. And
likewise, Father.
Thanks for all of our listeners for tuning in. Let's keep one another in prayer and happy Easter. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in. Send your questions and comments to outcastcatholic@gmail.com. Catch you next time, and God bless.